Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight. What a blessing it has been, and what a blessing it's been just being in the house of the Lord once again this evening. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Colossians in chapter 1, Colossians in chapter 1. Sunday nights, we usually are in some kind of a series, and we just continue to build upon that, and something's been helpful to us. Of course, we just came through a series on stress, and stress is something that affects every one of us, because we know the root of it comes from this old sinful nature of mankind. And so hopefully that was a help to you, and we are, like I said, in between in what we're going to be going into. But something that we normally do at the first of every year is we go through the articles of faith, and we teach and we preach on the doctrines of the church and why we do what we do. And this year, the Lord just didn't lead us to go through that, although anytime that we have new members and you want to know why it is we do what we do, there is a series of those CDs in the bookstore, and if you've not gone through and listened to those lessons, it goes and tells you why we have chosen to use the amen in the services instead of the clapping of the hands. There's nothing wrong with the clapping of the hands, but we choose the most biblical way to respond in a worship service is through the amen. Why we have an invitation, why we use the King James Bible, just why we do what we do. And so, again, if you've not listened to that series, you can pick those CDs up in the bookstore, and I would encourage you to do so. But tonight, something that we have to be aware of, and because I think it's becoming, as we get closer and closer to the end time, it is going to be more relevant. It's something that the old devil is going to try to get you out of a true biblical church. And so why are we members of an independent, fundamental Baptist church? I think it's very important that we understand that. And so if you stand with me tonight, we're going to be reading here in Colossians in chapter 1, Colossians in chapter 1, beginning in verse 9, and we're going to read down to verse 19 as Paul's writing to the church at Colossae and gives us and every church of this New Testament church age, this truth concerning Jesus Christ. The Bible says for verse 9, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering, with joyfulness." And that's all these things is what God wants the Christian, how He wants us to live and how He wants us to have these things. "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell." Let's pray. Father, we bow before You tonight. Thank You for Your word, because it is what gives us the knowledge of God and everything that is connected to it. We praise You for it. I pray tonight, God, as we have assembled here in Your name, we sense Your presence in this place and pray that You would work through this service, God, and continue to speak to us concerning how we need to be spoken to. Help each one to receive that truth that You have for them tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. As the member of the Lighthouse Baptist Church, we have a constitution of the church. This is right here. And that tells you everything about what we do here at the church, what we believe, these articles of faith. Now, you'll find the articles of faith out in the track rack. And these are 14 statements, doctrines of the church. These articles of faith are actually found in the church constitution. The church constitution tells you exactly why we have the officers we have, the duties and the responsibilities of each one of these officers, the duties and responsibilities of a church member. And one of these constitutions are given to every church member. When you join the church, then the deacons, we use our deacons of the church to be able to make contact with those who recently have joined the church and making sure that they have been giving a new member's packet. And there's several things in the new members packet that I want the people to have, a couple pamphlets of books that I recommend that they have, and then a church constitution, a church membership list, and why we do, how we do things at the church. All that is in that new members church list, and you are given the insight into why all those things are there. And so but the constitution is something that every member has agreed to be governed by. And the Constitution is according to the Bible, which is the final authority, because it represents God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That was God coming in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ established New Testament Christianity. Jesus Christ established the testimony of Christians through his own life. He established the most important thing was the New Testament church, which he refers to as his body, okay? And the church is made up of individual believers. So when you get saved, God will plant you in a church to make you a part of that local New Testament body. But the Bible says that we are the body as a church, but Jesus is the head of the body. That is so important that we understand that. So we are to be governed by the Constitution, which is according to the Holy Scriptures, the Bible, and our articles of faith states our doctrinal beliefs. These are the teachings of Christ. Every one of these articles of faith, every doctrine that we hold to is the doctrines of Christ. We spoke this morning that if you do not know the doctrines of Christ, you don't know God. And so it's very important that you understand that you have to know who Jesus is in order to know who God is, who truly know who God is. And if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you might think you know God, but you don't know God. And if you don't know God, then Satan is able to work through your life without you even realizing it, as we studied this morning. I trust that was a help to you. But these are the teachings of Christ and are what makes me. You've heard me say that. It's the Bible that makes me Baptist, but it's the teachings of Christ that even go beyond that. The teachings of Christ make me an independent, fundamental Baptist. If you would look, there's probably 100 different types of Baptist churches. I was raised in a Southern Baptist church, and the difference with the Southern Baptist church is under the authority of the Southern Baptist Convention, which as a pastor, it really is something nice to be under, because when you retire as a Southern Baptist, you have retirement funds. As an independent, we don't have retirement funds. So we just don't retire. We just live until we die. A pastor, no. But in the convention, it's under the Southern Baptist Convention, and that means that the church pays dues to the Southern Baptist Convention. The Southern Baptist Convention tells the church what missionaries that you will support. The Southern Baptist Convention has somewhat of an ownership of the church itself. And so that's the Southern Baptist Convention. Why independent? Why independent? The word independent, the definition is not subject to the control of others. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, I will build my church. the text we read this evening, in text in chapter Colossians in chapter 1, verse 9 to 19, there's a whole lot of good things right there concerning understanding the knowledge of Christ and understand all that God has for us, and God wants us to glory in these things and giving thanks to the Father. And verse 13, it says, who delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. The kingdom, the heavenly kingdom is under his dear Son. He was much more than a man. He was God manifested in the flesh, in whom we have redemption through his blood. It's only through the blood of Jesus Christ, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created. That means he was there in creation. Amen. That are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, even the things we cannot see, whether it be thrones, or dimensions, or dominions, which different dimensions, or principalities, or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Yeah. Humanity was created for God's pleasure, for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Without him there would be nothing. And he is the head of the body. Now he gives all that buildup to this. He says he is the head of the body, the church. The true biblical church is under the headship of Jesus Christ. So if you do not have the doctrine of Christ, you are not a true body. If you're not a true body, then you are not a true church. You're a religious organization. Religious organizations can be underneath conventions, and they can be under other authorities of a board. They can be under the authority of associations. They can be under the authority even of fellowships, if you will. But the true church cannot be. According to the Word of God, he is the head of the body, the church. That means that the true church has to have Jesus as the head of it and has to be under his authority, who is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, and in all things that he might have the, and this is important, he might have the preeminence. It means we look to him for everything. We take orders from no one but him. Amen. Independent, not subject to the control of others. Jesus has the authority over his church. Therefore, his church must look to him, not to a board, not to a convention, not to an association, and not to a fellowship. I belong to the Global Independent Baptist Fellowship, but that's a fellowship of pastors. This church is not under the authority of a fellowship. This church is under the authority of the Bible. Amen. But there is something about a fellowship. Pastors need that type of fellowship, and we're able to encourage one another, and we get together at this meetings I'll be going to, and preachers preach to preachers, and they help us. We help one another to stay on track. And the fellowship that we're a part of, that I'm a part of, is a national fellowship of independent fundamental Baptist preachers, from missionaries to pastors all around the world. And we've hosted several of the GIBF national meetings right here. And we have had people, these leaders, come from all around the world to Indianapolis to be encouraged by this church when we host these fellowship meetings, national fellowship meetings. What a joy they have been to our church. And I believe that God has used this church to be an encouragement to many of his leaders, his men and women. Not under the authority of a board, a convention, association, or fellowship. First century churches were established to be self-governing. First century churches were established to be self-supporting and dependent upon him. Look at Titus chapter 1. That's independent. That's independent. Titus chapter 1, verse 4. You have some that's in a convention say, well, they have no accountability. Are you kidding me? We are accountable to the most powerful person ever. We're accountable to Jesus Christ, who has given to us His instruction, our marching orders, amen? And we have a copy of it for everybody, the Bible. Titus chapter 1, verse 4 says this, "To Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace and mercy and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior." Paul writing to Titus, "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee." God's plan for every church is to have their own pastor, elder, bishop. It would be under the same position of the pastor of the church. It's we find in the scriptures that he gives qualifications to the pastors and the deacons, two scriptural positions. We just went over in our election of officers how important they are. And he says, "If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly, for a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, given to wine, nor striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine, the doctrines of the Bible, both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers." And so we find here the first century churches were established to be self-governing under the positions that God established, with the Bible being the final authority, representing God, representing Jesus Christ who established it, dependent upon Him. So why independent? I think hopefully that gives you an understanding of why that you are a member of an independent, now fundamental, okay? Independent, that means we are accountable to God, and the scriptures are our authority, not the pastor. I hold a position that God's established, but I am not the authority. The Bible is the authority. My position is here to make sure that we are obeying it. My position at this pastor of this church is to make sure that everything we do is Bible-centered, and that we're not getting sidetracked by any other influences. We stay focused on the final authority, the very Word of God. That's my position. Why fundamental? Well, let's look at the definition. An essential part of a foundation. Basic principles. Can I tell you, the media uses this term to describe every extremist group there is. And when they hear the word fundamental, the minds go to what I've been taught concerning fundamentalists, which are extremists. They handle snakes and they do this and they do that and they're... But I'm not going to let that scare me away from understanding what a fundamentalist is. True Christianity follows the fundamental guidelines established by Christ. Amen. The essential part of a foundation. If you get away from the fundamentals of the faith, you get away from the essentials of the foundation, and the structure will crumble. The foundation has to be strong. Yes. So fundamentalist means that I simply believe in the fundamental teachings of the Bible. Acts chapter 11, look there with me. Acts chapter 11. In Acts chapter 11, first century church, as they were carrying out the work that Christ had for the New Testament church to carry out, this was the first true Gentile related church where they were doing all the work that the church was to establish in reaching the world, not just thinking about reaching the Jews, but reaching the world. This is where the Apostle Paul was led to be a member of this church, and God called him into evangelism, missions work out of this church. But the Bible says, verse 26, "And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch," Paul being brought to Antioch, "and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called," look right here, "Christians first in Antioch. True Christianity follows the fundamental guidelines established by Christ. And I believe what they were doing, the lost were looking to them and they said, they're doing the very same fundamental things that Christ did. And they identified them as being like Christ, being Christ-like. And that's what has held on for these 2,000 years. Amen. Because that's what we ought to want to be, like Christ. If we're going to be like Christ, then we have to hold on to the fundamentals that Christ established. They look directly to Christ as the final authority. They look to Him to have the preeminence in their churches. They baptize converts and not babies. Amen. Baptism is one of the doctrines that will really tell you what kind of church you're going to. The true biblical church will baptize those that have been saved. Right. Baptism was never given for infants. That's something that a church has picked up and has did follow this procedure that is not a biblical procedure. Right. We find that Jesus Christ, the forerunner of Christ, was who? John the Baptist. Right. Now, why was John called a Baptist? Because he baptized. But he came preaching repentance. Before he would baptize, he would baptize those who repent of their sins. He never baptized infants. And I guarantee you, he never just sprinkled anyone in his baptisms. Matthew chapter 3. Verses 1 through 6. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So the first thing he said is, repent, get saved. Realize you're lost and on your way to going to a devil's hell. Repent of that. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness." Old Testament prophesied that this day was coming. "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. And then went out to him, Jerusalem, and all Judea, and all the region round about Jordan. Not because of his looks and not because of what he had to offer, amen? It wasn't a free meal that they were looking for when they went out there. It was because of what he was teaching and the power of God that was upon him. And were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. So we find the fundamental is they look directly to Christ as a final authority. They baptize converts, not babies. And they practice biblical separation. The New Testament church, the first century church, they were fundamentalist. They were called Christians first at Antioch, and I believe the idea of being called a Christian then would be called a fundamentalist today. Someone who is basically holding on to the fundamental teachings of Jesus Christ and has determined to follow in his footsteps. I believe in the fundamental truths of this Bible. Not only is this the authority that I look to, it is the fundamentals that I stand upon. This Bible. So independent, fundamental, and as we looked at John Baptist. John came baptizing those who would repent. Later on, they would be called Anabaptist or rebaptizers. But the truth of it is, there's only one baptism. no one has ever been rebaptized. You say, now, preacher, wait a minute, I've been baptized 3 or 4 times. You might have, but you were only biblically baptized one time. Biblical baptism follows biblical salvation. Once you have know that you have biblical salvation, that means that you have repented of your sins, you looked at Jesus Christ, and you confessed Him as being Lord of your life, and you received Jesus and the gift that He has given to you, that's eternal salvation. You are eternally secure. Now that I have been saved, I am a candidate for believers' baptism. That's Baptist. We don't believe that the baptism saves you. We don't believe in baptism regeneration. We don't believe in baptizing infants. We believe in the Bible, in what the Bible teaches, that a person, an individual, must first of all make a free will decision to receive or to reject Jesus Christ. Once you have received Him as your personal Lord and Savior, then you're a candidate for believers' baptism. And when you surrender to be baptized, you are identifying publicly with Jesus Christ in His death, His burial, and resurrection, and you are, after baptism, added to that very same body of Christ where you are to serve and be a part of the church. Yeah. Simply stated, it's the Bible that makes me Baptist. It's the Bible. Were you raised Baptist? I was, but I was raised Southern Baptist. I didn't know the difference outside of, I didn't get the teaching until I started attending a fundamental Baptist church. Then I started understanding the why. I started understanding the fundamentals of the faith. And I started growing as Paul writes in first to the Colossian church, it's God's will that you grow. Amen. It's God's will that you increase in knowledge. It's God's will that you have the joy of your salvation. All the things that he presented there, it all is dependent upon you understanding who you are in Christ. Being in the right church where Christ is ahead. Amen. So, independent, fundamental Baptist. As an independent, fundamental Baptist, as we're closing here tonight, just in closing, what are some of my responsibilities? Now, you'll have in the church constitution some things concerning the responsibilities and duties of church members, and I think that every church member ought to read that and understand that. But again, that is based upon what the Bible teaches. What are some of the things that the Bible teaches me concerning an independent fundamental Baptist? First of all, look to Christ. Not only should we as a church body look to Christ for the preeminence, individually, look to Christ. Individually, Christ has to have the preeminence in our individual lives. Before he can have the preeminence in our church family's life collectively, individually we have to look to Christ first and foremost. And then as we come together collectively, if every church member is focused on Jesus Christ and him having the preeminence in their lives, the church will prosper, the church will grow, the church will be everything that God wants the church to be collectively, because we're all wanting the same things. We're all led by the same Holy Spirit. Can I tell you, the Holy Spirit of God that's in me is the same Holy Spirit of God that's in you, and He will not lead us in different directions. Amen. The same Savior that saved me, if you're saved, is the same one that saved you. The same one that I have to look to as my Heavenly Father is the same one that you have to look to individually as well as collectively as our Heavenly Father. And we pray to our Heavenly Father through the Son in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's Bible. That's Bible. Look to Christ. individually, let him have the preeminence in your life. And then when, as you're doing that, support the church. Not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. That means that I have to be at every service. I ought to have a desire to be here as often as I can be. It has to be my desire. Forsaking is saying, don't want to do that. I did my one service. That's all I need. No, that's a desire to say, and I desire to be there. I desire to be there every time the church doors are open because that's my church. That's my family in Christ. That's the body that I serve with. Amen. Yeah. Support your church. Love and edify your church family. Now, there's verses and biblical Bible to back up every one of these, but I'm trying to just help you with things that understanding to support your church family ought to be something that everyone ought to understand that. But love and edify your church family. Romans in chapter 14. Romans in chapter 14. Did you ever have an argument with your brother or sister in your home? Did anybody have a perfect relationship with all your siblings? Raise your hand. You're lying, but raise your hand. I mean, we'll pick out all the liars right now, right? The only way that you were able to do that, to have a perfect relationship with all of your siblings, is that you didn't have any. You were an only child. Amen. No, I come from a large family. I guarantee you there have been a lot of knockdown drag outs within the family. Amen. Yeah. But how did mom and dad want us to behave? If you have children, it's how you want your children to behave. Every time my two girls would come to me, Dad, what do you want for birthday? What do you want for anniversary? What do you want for Christmas? What do you want for this? What? Two things. Love God and get along with your sister. Oh, come on, Dad. What do you want? That's exactly the most important thing you could ever give me is for you to turn out right, to love God and love your sister. Live in peace and unity. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. And they've given me that gift. And I praise God for it. Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. Love and edify your church family. Verse 11. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. First of all, understand that. As a church family, everyone will give an account to God. You don't have to make sure that everyone's given an account. They don't have to be accountable to you before they're accountable to God. Amen. I found even in our own home, when everybody just made sure that they watched themselves, they each one controlled themselves, there was peace in the house. It's when they started trying to get into everyone else's business. And my sister's trying to sneak in to find all the different things in my room and things like that, whatever it was. You know, that caused more arguments than anything else. Or before I went through puberty, my voice sounded just like my sister's, Linda's. My next oldest sister, Linda, second oldest sister, Linda. And so when her boyfriends would call the house and I answered the phone, they thought she was me. Or they thought I was her. And I got a lot of good information. I would talk to them like I was her. And I said, now we had a good time last night. How did you enjoy that? You know, I find out exactly what she did, all the different things. And then I would tell her, now I've got something on you and you better be good to me. So there's some things that you really can benefit as you go through puberty before you go through that and your voice still sounds like your sister's, whatever it might be. That just brought back to my mind. I didn't plan on saying that, but anyway. Those things happen when you have a big family. Romans chapter 14. every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. So, let us not therefore judge one another anymore. But judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. The thing that has caused more church members to leave this church over the last 31, 32 years now is membership. Not supporting membership. Verse 19 says, "Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another." If we look to our church family as our parents would have us look to our siblings and to please our Heavenly Father, just get along. Just love your brother and love your sister and look to edify them. Look to be a blessing to your church family. Look to be an encouragement. Look to set an example to your church family. What a difference that would make. Love and edify your church family. Use your spiritual gift. If you're saved, you have a spiritual gift, whether you realize it or not. And that spiritual gift was given you not to make money in the world. You might end up using that, but primarily your spiritual gift was given for you to use it in the church, to glorify God in and through His church. Use your spiritual gift. And lastly, know what you believe and live accordingly. Just know what you believe. And let the Bible be your guide. Matthew chapter 5, and we're done. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13. What Jesus told every one of his disciples. And oh, how as a church member we need to understand this. Know what you believe and live accordingly, because it's very important that you do so. Verse 13. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt hath lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. God wants you to impact the world. And if we're not living according to it, we will not. You're the light of the world. Not only the salt, but you're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and giveth light unto all that are in the house. And then verse 16. Let your light so shine before men. The light of Christ in us, that they may see your good works. And by seeing your good works, and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. If we just know what we believe and live accordingly, what a difference it'll make. Not only in the church, but in our world. We can reach the world with the gospel of Christ. Why am I an independent, fundamental Baptist? I trust you understand that a little bit better at this time. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. We need to know these things. How important it is. I don't know how God might have used it in your heart and your mind tonight. There's something that you need to get settled. I would encourage you to come to this altar and do business with the Lord. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you've never been scripturally baptized, not a member of the church, but you know God would have you to be, whatever it might be that God spoke to you about tonight, we encourage you to bring it to the altar. Surrender your will to His will. Father, as we bow before you, we love you. Thank you for the truth of your word and helping us to understand some things that we need to understand as a Lighthouse Baptist Church. Pray that you'd meet with us now and continue to bless in this invitation time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.